It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. How and why do we gain weight? And why do we struggle to lose it when we try to? Is it the decisions we make, our lifestyle, our genetics, our willpower, a little bit of everything? Those are questions that have puzzled countless people and motivated medical researchers, as well as pharmaceutical companies, to find answers. New, stronger versions of anti-diabetic drugs are adding a new wrinkle and may help provide some solid explanations for what determines a person's weight and what can be done if weight becomes unhealthy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you worked with a medical provider on losing weight? Have you had experience with these drugs like Ozempic or Wegovy? Is treatment like that something you've considered for your own health? And what questions do you have about how these medications work, how they fit into issues of weight loss and diabetes? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Lisa Morselli is an assistant professor of medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She's interested in weight management, diabetes, and general endocrinology. Her research includes looking at metabolic adaptation to weight loss. Dr. Morselli, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, Rob. Thank you for having me.
These drugs like Ozempic that are getting a lot of attention as potential anti-obesity drugs, they came, I understand, as part of an anti-diabetes effort. Can you talk about the origins of these medications? What were they originally intended for?
Yes, so you're right. These drugs were initially developed for diabetes. And interestingly, the first compound was isolated from the saliva of a lizard, poisonous lizard that lives in Arizona. But this compound was found to have an effect on the pancreas, on the part of the pancreas that produces insulin, which is what's lacking or not being produced enough when people have diabetes. And so the first compound was developed in 2005. And then there's been newer compounds that have come out since then. And in addition to improving blood sugars, it was noted that they caused weight loss. And so that's why they've been used also for weight management.
I get, you know, limiting the pancreas's ability to produce insulin. I get why that would help with diabetes. Do we know why these medications are helping with weight loss?
Yes. So they are similar to a hormone that is produced in the gut that works on the pancreas to help with insulin production, but it also works on the centers that control appetite in the brain. And this hormone called GLP-1 or glucagon-like peptide 1 basically makes people less hungry. So that's how then these drugs cause weight loss. And so the effect is in part on the brain and in part by slowing down the emptying of the stomach, which is something that people may have heard in the news. But the main effect is really how it acts on the brain centers that control appetite and hunger.
I mentioned that your research includes looking at metabolic adaptation to weight loss. And I've read about this idea of a set point where whatever weight we might be at, our brains kind of say, okay, yeah, this is how much fat I want the body to have. This is the weight I want. And no matter how hard we try to go below that, if we're trying to, our brain is going to manage our appetite in a way to keep it there. Is that kind of what we're talking about when we talk about metabolic adaptations to when we lose weight?
It's kind of. So, yes. So you're correct that there's now this theory that our bodies want us to be at a certain weight. And that's determined in part by what happens in the brain, because the brain is what controls energy balance. So the balance of energy in and energy out, which is ultimately what defines our weight. And this concept of set point is probably why so many people gain weight and it's so hard to lose it. And we don't really know what's causing that, what's determining that. It's probably a combination of genetics and environmental factors. But metabolic adaptation is basically the response that the body puts into effect when we're trying to lose weight, to fight the weight loss and bring us back to where our body thinks we should be in terms of weight.
Talking to Dr. Lisa Morselli from the Medical College of Wisconsin, looking at our weight, how we manage it, how these new classes of drugs seem to help with weight loss, and who they're intended for. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Morselli, I understand you've worked with these medications for years now and with patients. Who would be the most likely candidate to take one of these medications with weight loss in mind?
So in general, we defined, we identify who should be on a weight loss medication based on body mass index, which is a rough measure of if you're overweight or not. The guidelines are that if a person has a BMI greater than 30, they can be on a weight loss medication. If they have a BMI greater than 27 and they have some complications due to excess weight, like, for example, diabetes or high blood pressure or high cholesterol, then they also qualify for a weight loss drug. So in my practice, those are the guidelines that I follow. Definitely, these drugs should not be used for people who are not clearly overweight. And we know that there's been a lot of hype in the news and from Hollywood celebrities about these medications, and that has led to many people who maybe should not need a medication to lose weight to want to take them. But yes, if you have clear, if you're clearly overweight and you have potentially complications from this overweight, that's when you qualify for a weight loss drug.
What are some of the health impacts of being overweight or obese?
Well, there are many health adverse health impacts, really. You can have diabetes, you can have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart attack, strokes. You can have joint issues. You can have fatty liver. There's many types of cancers that have now been related to associated with obesity. So the health impact for many people is significant. There are some people who have obesity who don't have any of these issues, but they're really a minority. That's why we recommend weight loss.
Now, we saw an article in the Wall Street Journal. This is part of what made us interested in this conversation. They ran a piece with a headline saying it's biology over willpower. So the idea being that, okay, these drugs are showing that, hey, if you're struggling with your weight, it's not a failure of your willpower. It's something about your biology. What do you think about the role of willpower? I think we assume it can do a lot when it comes to our nutrition and our weight loss.
Obviously, to lose weight, you have to be in the right place and you have to want to lose weight. But I think that if losing weight was just a matter of putting some willpower into changing how you eat and exercising more, then everybody would be able to do that. And unfortunately, obesity and overweight are still viewed as poor lifestyle choices and character flaws by a lot of people. But in the medical community, in the scientific community, we've known for a long time that there's a lot of biology that drives weight. And in fact, the Obesity Society, which is our professional society, defined obesity as a chronic disease, so a chronic condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, already in 2008. So this is a new concept for the general public, that they're... weight gain is a matter, not just a matter of willpower, and that biology has a big role, but it's not really new for us obesity practitioners.
We're talking about what controls a person's weight and what new drugs could tell us about the causes of obesity. Dr. Lisa Morselli stays with us, assistant professor of medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest about the biology of our weight, of our metabolism? Is healthy weight something you've struggled with yourself? Have you been able to find treatments, lifestyle changes, whatever it might be that worked for you? Are you curious about these drugs you may be seeing headlines about, billed as weight loss medications. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation with Dr. Lisa Morselli, Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin, talking about what causes people to gain weight and struggle to lose weight if they want to, and what stronger versions of a class of drugs are teaching us about how our metabolisms work. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller. Jennifer is with us in St. Paul. Jennifer, hi.
Hi there.
Oh, what did you want to bring up, Jennifer?
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things, the medications that are prescribed and obtained through a compounding facility, or then you get them through the mail versus you're going through the regular clinic and family practice channels. It seems to me like I'm hearing about some of the ladies going to like a medical concierge versus being able to go to their family practice. It's cheaper. And what your thoughts are on that when you just get it delivered to your mail versus through like your local pharmacist.
Thanks for the call, Jennifer. I understand, Dr. Morselli, some of these compounding pharmacies are working with some of the medications we're talking about. I haven't read much about this, but the FDA has given some warnings against turning to some of these drugs. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yes, I do. I agree with the FDA. The issue with these compounded medications is that we don't really know where they come from. These medications are still under patent. And so there's a concern that maybe the compounds that are used, the drugs that are used to make these medications are maybe research grade compounds, or they're not, yes, they are produced in compounding pharmacies. So the, you know, safety guidelines should be followed in the preparation, but it's really unclear where these drugs come from, and that's why it's not recommended to turn to that source.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for the call. And Dr. Morselli, as I understand, a lot of these medications we're talking about, you know, it's not a bottle of pills you take home. These are injections you would receive at a doctor's office in many cases. Can you talk about how we take these medications, how often we have to do it?
So these are injectable drugs. Some are daily injections under the skin, and they come in a pen device, so you don't need to go to your doctors. You can give it to yourself. The newer versions are weekly injections, so you just take them once a week, but it's still a injection under the skin.
And for people who use these medications, you know, for that person who's overweight or obese, has success with these, what happens when they stop, if they stop taking these medications?
Yes, so that's also something that many people don't realize, is that if you start a medication for weight loss, be these injectables or other weight loss medications, if they help you by helping you eating less and controlling your appetite, it's not that once you stop taking the drug, things stay the same. Things will go back to where you were before. So your appetite will be revved up and it will be hard to continue to control your portions and eat reasonable, you know, portions. So these drugs have to be taken long term. And it's not that, you know, you're going to continue to lose weight indefinitely. At some point, things will balance out because, again, the human body has a lot of mechanisms to prevent excessive weight loss. But when we try to lose weight just with diet and exercise, these mechanisms kick in pretty fast. And these drugs overcome these mechanisms for a while, which is why they allow, they help us lose really much larger amount of weight than just we would achieve with just diet and exercise.
Let's go back to our
callers. They have to be taken long term.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Nicolette is with us in Appleton. Nicolette, hi.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My question for Dr. Marcelli is in regards to my specific situation. I've been intrigued by the drugs and, caught off guard a little bit by some of the comments made and observations with celebrities. So I was glad that you touched on that. I've always felt like after my last child that I just had, it's been really hard to come back, and I'm not seeing the same results as easily as I did with my other children. I ended up, it's been about 8 months now, and I've been curious about asking more about these drugs because I feel like nothing is working for me, and I'm working very hard at it, to the point where I feel like I'm almost hurting my body more working physically at it, than I ever have before. So I was curious if, post-baby delivery bodies and mothers, if that's like a consideration or a testing that has been looked at and something that I could look into with a doctor.
Nicolette, thanks for the call. And Dr. Marcelli, of course, I won't ask you to diagnose Nicolette in particular or suggest medications or not, but how to evaluate a situation if a patient comes in and says, post-baby weight is Ozempic or Wegovy or one of these medications maybe the right path? What kind of things would you do to evaluate that?
Well, the first thing I would look at is what the person's BMI is, because that's really, these drugs are approved for a certain BMI. And BMI is the body mass index. It's basically a ratio of weight to height, that helps us assess if a person is overweight or not. It's not a perfect measure, but that's what we use in clinical practice. And so that would be the first thing that I would look at. And then I would also try to see if there's other factors that can contribute to difficulty losing weight. There's definitely, sleep deprivation is a has a big influence on our weight status. Medications, I would definitely review the person's, eating habits and exercise habits, but we need to do a comprehensive evaluation. So definitely, your caller should talk with their doctor to see if one of these medications is appropriate, with the idea that this would not be temporary fix. It would probably have to be a long-term medication.
Nicolette, thanks a lot for the call. Talking to Dr. Lisa Morselli from the Medical College of Wisconsin about weight loss, and the drugs. You may have been seeing headlines about. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Dr. Morselli, can you talk about the kinds of side effects we might see with these classes of medications?
Yes. So the most common side effects that we see are gastrointestinal side effects. So because the initially, especially these drugs do slow down the emptying of the stomach and also how the gut moves. So many people struggle with constipation. It's usually not, it's not a intractable constipation. So if you make sure that you have enough fiber, you drink plenty of water, usually things improve. And then you can have the opposite problem also from constipation. You can have nausea and then reactions at the injection site, so rash or itching. That is also something that we see. These are the main side effects. And then these drugs can also raise the heart rate. So for most people, that's not an issue, but if you already have a high heart rate to begin with, or if you have some abnormal heart rhythms, those can become worse with these drugs. So that's why it's always good to consult a doctor before starting this type of medications.
And Dr. Marcelli, I've read at least anecdotal accounts of patients saying, who are obese. They're using one of these medications. They've been one of the more successful stories, and maybe they're able to stop taking a blood pressure medication or go with a lower dose cholesterol medication. Is that a potential a benefit, a potential trade-off, even if we worry about some of these side effects?
Absolutely. So the idea of losing weight, it's not just for cosmetic reasons. It's mostly it should be done for health reasons. And we know, as we mentioned at the beginning of the interview, that excess weight has a lot of consequences on our health. And so definitely any weight loss will make you healthier. But obviously, the more you lose, the more you may be able to shed some of these medications for these conditions that are associated with excess weight. So definitely that's one of the benefits. And I will say that the great majority of people does tolerate these medications well.
Dr. Marcelli, in just our last minute or so, you've been working on these issues for some time now. Big picture, how big a deal are these medications? How much does this change the face of weight loss?
Oh, they're a huge deal. Because, you know, so when we talk about weight loss, obviously everybody starts from a different weight. So to kind of standardize things, we talk in terms of percentage of weight loss. And in the past, we considered that a weight loss that would make you significantly healthier is a 5% weight loss. Now with these drugs, many people achieve a 15 or even a 20% weight loss. So we're talking about, you know, extent of weight loss that we had never seen before with older weight loss drugs. And for some people, this is close to what weight loss surgery would achieve. So that's really, those are really game changers.
Dr. Marcelli, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
That's Dr. Lisa Marcelli, Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Medical College of Wisconsin. We talked to her about what contributes to excessive weight gain and obesity, how new weight loss and anti-diabetic drugs are telling us about the body's processes around weight and metabolism. I'm Rob Ferret. Check out these conversations all the time, anytime, online at WPR.org or download the Wisconsin Public Radio app.